Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 117. We are just less than 9 days away from the Switch release, and joining us this week to help break down all the unboxings, leaked videos, and getting on this hype train for the Switch is the co-host of the Power Pro podcast, former Nintendo Power senior editor, and just a really cool guy, Chris Hoffman. Now, Zach, cue the music. You have one job, cue the music, Zach.
Can
you
hear that? It's there.
No.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is February 22nd, 2016. Joining me tonight is the man who played over the music. I don't know why you can't hear the music tonight. That's really weird. Justin Masson, what's going on tonight, Justin?
Doing all right. My wife is out. She's on a little bit of a girl's night with some friends, and I have a 6 and an 8-year-old who are refusing to go to bed right now. So they're running around upstairs, and I can hear them in my house. And I'm like, no, I've already put you to bed a couple of times. Speaking of someone who can put you to bed easily, Jesse Waldack, VG Tribune, how are you today, sir?
I am good. I've been busy with doing some reorganization of the computers down in my office area. Giving my old computer to the kids and setting up a new computer.
Excellent.
It's not just a computer. He's got like an entire server farm as his new computer. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he might actually be creating Skynet in his basement.
Yeah. Right on.
I'm just looking forward to see how not long it'll take to render this episode.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I love it. Joining us as well, of course, as Justin said in the intro there, Chris the Hoffman from Power Pros Podcast. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for having me here. In addition to Power Pros, of course, I used to be at Nintendo Power, and even though I am not officially a dad, I am the proud papa of 120 Amiibo, so thanks for having me here.
Wow.
What is that? Is that considered like a brood at that point? Like a hive? I don't know.
It's probably a horde.
It's more than 101 Dalmatians.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, I've been listening to your show for a while. I think actually probably since I saw it when it first was sort of announced. I've been listening to that. So it's awesome to have you on the show, man.
Well, awesome. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah.
We're going to have to dive into that 120 Amiibo collection and talk about that.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't know if I can name them off the top of my head, but you know that happens when you have that many kids.
And whatever the other one is called. You come here and do dishes also.
You Link number 4. Yeah, come over here. Right on. Well, hey, we've got lots to talk about today. It's the calm before the Switch storm, so let's get right into it, shall we?
Do it.
All right.
All right. And, of course, you guys can't hear that bumper, but it was wonderful. of course, the news brought to us by
1UpBox.com. If you guys like geeky, cool green boxes shipped to you every single month, head over to 1UpBox.com. They have amazing exclusive t-shirts. And if you use the code NintendoDads at checkout, you get $3 off your first box. So head over to 1UpBox.com. Thank you so much, 1UpBox.com, for your sponsorship and support. Zach, what's happening in the news like just before the Switch release? Anything exciting or cool, or is it just like
nothing? Yeah, it is actually it's this weird sort of thing. By the way, before we continue, I do want to acknowledge the big gaping hole in this podcast known as a big Marty-sized hole. Marty is of course sick today, and so he's not on the show. I just wanted him, like, I didn't want people to worry. He's okay. He's taking care of himself tonight.
I think people were concerned, like, it got so heated last week, we gave him the boot.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, get out of here.
Yeah, I'm not the permanent replacement. No, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny, right? Marty leaves and we're auditioning new co-hosts, which they don't even know they're part of the audition process.
Yeah. Oh, right on.
That's part of the fun.
It's like the Hunger Games. I don't know. So tonight, we got some stuff to talk about. Literally, so last week we did get a little bit, I don't know if heated is quite yet. You know, we had a rousing discussion about.
It was a debate, man, a debate.
Yeah, a debate. I think that is a good way to put it. And basically talking about, you know, basically how Nintendo is kind of, they've had this communication problem, and I can't even remember what we were talking about. That something had happened. Oh, it was the developer leaks. is what it was, right? They had kind of leaked those early development screens and some of the specs and stuff like that. And we had kind of said, oh man, see, this is what happens when, Nintendo is not communicating the things that people want to know, is that this stuff is going to get out. I recorded a video a couple of times and it just came across as like, I don't know, pretty,
I told you so.
Not I told you so, but more of just like, I can't even think of the word. I don't want to say pompous either, but just this sort of like hoity toity crap that, and it never came across right. So that's, I never released it. But, basically my point was that it's just this thing with the internet where the truth wants to be known and Nintendo somehow hasn't figured that. And I think that this is like a thing that every single company in the world has to figure out at some point. And Nintendo is learning it the hard way this time, I think. But basically the day after we recorded that episode last week, there was some funny business going on, and I actually have some music, which I'm even more sad now. You know, I'm going to actually take this out of my computer so that you guys can hear it. It's not going to sound as good on this thing, but you'll at least be able to hear it. This is the kind of music that I think describes what happened this week. Was there's some funny business going on, some legal questionable content. Is a little, like an episode of Law and Order going on here, some weirdness. Basically, I don't know. So there was a Switch that came out, and there was the unboxing video, there was the video of all of that, and I don't know. I hate to be the guy, I hate to say I told you so, but it clearly happened. So what does all of this mean, Justin? Has your mind changed at all about any of this? Where are your thoughts about the leaks that happened this week? Apparently this was a legally obtained or a legally resold Switch. The guy's story doesn't really check out. The guy's story was like, oh yeah, it just randomly got delivered, and isn't that weird? And yet there's some weird inconsistencies going on.
Suspicious.
Yeah, very suspicious, right? Where he's like, oh yeah, no, I'm just out the money that I paid for it, but also I'm not in trouble, and also let's not talk anymore about this, and like kind of disappear.
And as I recall, like, Nintendo has reclaimed that Switch.
Oh yeah, yeah. They've
came to him, reclaimed it. I picture like knocking on the door, and there being like just some Chinese or sorry, Japanese businessman, and the words, please understand, and them taking back the Switch and walking away.
And just like, and
that's
this
kind of it.
And just this,
it would probably be the Nintendo Ninjas. I know all about the Nintendo Ninjas. You don't want to mess with them.
Yeah, yeah.
If they come to your door, it's all over.
Yeah, they just showing up. And I just imagine this, like, that stern look on like this Japanese man's face of disapproval, of just, you know what you did, and give me this Switch, and then left. I don't know, Justin. So what's your take from last week to this week? How are you feeling about it?
Well, I'm still frustrated that it happened, right? Because I don't think the unboxing was anyone else's to do. I mean, and sure, we know a lot of the publishers and a lot of like the, you know, Game Explain, Nintendo Voice Chat, they all got their copies, but the embargoes to those things were massive. Like,
had an embargo.
Yeah, like, this person never had the embargo, like, had at her. But yeah. I mean, like, so they turn on the Switch and they go through the interface, and it's like, yeah, it's a clean interface. Oh, look at that. You can go into dark mode.
Yeah.
Cool. Right? Like, was it really worth it in the end? You know what I mean? Like, I kind of just sometimes want there to just be surprise. The art of surprise is something that is lost. So I kind of felt a little bit like something was stolen from me a little bit. Chris, what do you think about these unboxing videos, this kind of this missing Switch and Nintendo's lack of communication over the last several weeks as we led up to the Switch?
Well, as I was listening to you guys talk about this on last week's episode, there were a couple of thoughts that were going through my head. One of them was that no matter what Nintendo does, there's an insatiable appetite for this kind of thing, whether it's Nintendo, whether it's Sony, whether it's Microsoft, but especially with Nintendo, people just want to know what's going on. I don't think it matters what Nintendo does. People are always going to want more, and they're always just going to be craving that and trying to find it any way they can, which creates an opportunity for people who are able to get the information, whether it's wiggly or underhand or what to try to get out there and make a name for themselves. And so it's hard to blame people because, you know, there is this huge, huge, huge thirst. It's not necessarily a great thing. Obviously, Nintendo doesn't want that to happen, but it's almost unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that came to mind is that Nintendo just always marches to the beat of their own drummer. They have things planned out and set for a long time. I mean, sometimes it's flexible, sometimes it's not. It seems like they're more flexible than they used to be, but it seems like they have a rollout plan and they're going to stick with it. And, you know, doesn't really matter what else is going on, but they're going to follow those rules and stick to those rules. And, you know, maybe that's sometimes their detriment and sometimes it's not, but that's the way.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's part of is that just a product of the corporate culture? Or there are some companies that are very scrappy and can turn on a dime and respond really well and really quickly. And some companies that are very slow to react and kind of what you're saying, they've got their Switch rollout plan and you can mm-hmm. see that even in the embargoes, like we've got, you know, Game Explain, for example, basically read the dates right on their video there saying, this is when we can show this. This is when we can show this. Mm-hmm. And we know exactly when all those dates are. It's very specific. Do you feel like that's part of why, I'm imagining 3 or 4 months ago in some boardroom, Reggie and Bill Trinan are just hanging out. They've nailed down all these different dates and they've figured it all out from long before the January event even happened. So
that's very likely. I don't know if it's Reggie and Bill, but it is probably a bunch of people planning this stuff out way in advance and they've got things mapped out, as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, I generally just talk about those two as the entirety of Nintendo of America.
Fair enough. Yeah, there's nobody else, just the two of them running the entire thing.
Just, sharing a banana split at the diner and that kind of thing.
At Cafe Mario.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, Justin.
It was interesting. It was interesting because even today, Nintendo released a Nintendo Minute with Kit and Krista, mm-hmm. and they did their unboxing of the Switch.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right. And I was like, my thought was, I wonder if that was reactionary or I wonder if that was, to your point, Chris, mapped out on a kind of a master plan 5 months ago.
And I would assume it was.
I think it probably was. I think the thing is, too, what I thought was interesting is that because we know all of these dates, it's interesting that Nintendo scooped all of the video game press by intentionally releasing their unboxing video a day before the embargo lifts, which I thought was an interesting move. It was weird. So that was something that I just noticed and thought of. But and I think a similar thing happened with the Wii U, though. There's been a lot of nostalgia and reminiscing going on this week of Iwata's unboxing of the Wii U with the white gloves. If you haven't seen that, go back and watch that. It's I don't know, it'll make you miss Iwata for sure, but it was it's an interesting time, right? And so we've seen a bunch of this stuff now. I think as far as big takeaways from the unboxing and the leaks and stuff like that, like you said, Justin, it was stuff that I, as soon as I saw it, I was like, there, that's all I wanted. I'm good until launch now. There was that weird hunger for it that I was like, I just want to know. I just want to know. And then I saw it and I was like, all right, good. Cool.
And you see to me, Zach, I find that so weird because to me, that's, I don't really care. Like for me, the thing that I really want to know about is tell me about your eShop in relation to does anything come over? Tell me more about your playing online. Tell me about that infrastructure. Those are the meat and potatoes. The fact that I can choose my profile picture on the corner and the fact that it has black as opposed to white for a color base in the back, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. Or these skin colors essentially, right? Or backgrounds. But I was like, no, tell me about your eShop. Tell me about your Nintendo account. Tell me about your playing online. Those are I don't buy a Wii U or a Nintendo Switch because I'm like, oh, great, I can make a pink background. Cool. Mm-hmm. Right. For me, that's not it. I need to know those other things. So I don't know. I felt like there wasn't much there. Chris, as you look at it, as we're kind of, 9 days away from the Switch, what are the questions that you feel are unanswered that you want? Or are there any? Or are you just kind of I'm okay with what I know now?
Well, I am kind of okay with what I know now, and I've sort of been burying my head in the sand to try to avoid some details so there is some level of surprise when I actually get the thing in my hands. But I certainly want to know a lot more about what kind of offerings are going to be on the eShop. I would like to know if there is any chance of having any additional kind of apps like YouTube or anything like that anytime soon or anytime in the near future. That's the kind of thing I'd like to know more about. I guess Virtual Console is sort of the really big question mark. I mean, they've talked about eShop last week. We know that you can buy Zelda DLC. We know you'll be able to download a Splatoon demo soon. We know they're going to be downloadable tiles on day one, so we know that all of that stuff is going to be available. But Virtual Console is still a really big question mark that I'd like to know something about.
Yeah, I'd love to, I mean, there's been no definitive confirmation yet, I don't believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, about purchases potentially coming over, right? Am I wrong?
No, they haven't said anything for Virtual Console.
Yeah, nothing there, right?
So they have confirmed that eShop will be there at launch, but that's right. About it.
Right.
And I saw it was funny. I saw some interesting speculation on Reddit today, which of course is dangerous already. But they were making the suggestion that, and I think that this level of hype and expectation is irresponsible, frankly, given and unfounded given Nintendo's track record. But they were making an interesting point how they were saying maybe Nintendo actually has been doing a lot for Nintendo 64 for the Switch as far as emulation or as far as Virtual Console goes, specifically because they've been going out of their way on the Wii U to bring in some really, you know, like, I think tomorrow Harvest Moon 64 is coming out on the Wii U Virtual Console.
That's true.
Right. Mm-hmm. And just this idea of why are they even bothering? Like, it's literally a week away from the Switch. And yet here they are continuing to release these Virtual Console games. And, you know, there's got to be some sort of quality assurance stuff going on for those Virtual Console ports, specifically for 64 and stuff like that. And so the speculation was, at least, is that they're working on those so that they can then convert that over to the Switch fairly easily. Especially, I think Harvest Moon, they would have actually needed to go and get the rights for. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was, again, some speculation. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, I mean, I'd love to think it's true. It would be great if we were getting lots of Nintendo 64 games, but it would be great if we were getting GameCube games and Game Boy Advance games. And heck, I'm all ready to go out and buy Super Mario Brothers 3 and Mega Man 2 all over again. And I'm sure it's a matter of not if, but when, but that's sort of a big question for me. Will I be able to buy that stuff on day one or week one or month one, or will it just be coming sometime down the road? It's a big mystery. And, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get it quickly. And, you know, I would really like it if we were able to get some sort of discount that was tied to our Nintendo accounts, but I'm not exactly holding my breath on that front. So I'm just kind of waiting on a word for anything that tells me what kind of Virtual Console plans we'll be getting.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of at this point kind of half expecting that we're going to launch the shop and they're going to have like a little tab that says Virtual Console, and you'll go in there and it's like Super Mario Brothers 1 and Excitebike. And like, that's it.
Could be,
you know, like as far as setting myself, I feel like that is actually the worst case scenario, is that they actually have something on the eShop, but it's completely negligible. If it's not there at all. Yeah. If it's not there at all, then at least we can hold out some hope for like a bigger launch of, you know, some sort of, you know, actual good, not good, good. It's good-ish now, but, you know, like a proper, real beefy Virtual Console experience. But I don't know. Currently, it's the lack of information, I think, that's killing us. So it's, I don't know. Is there anything else about that as far as the leaks go? I do want to say that I did actually, when I was looking, there was a video out there for your like account icon creation or whatever, and there was something about seeing the Miis with like all the weird poses and stuff, and you could choose the background color. I like that they went the extra mile, it seems like, with the they almost took it reminded me of the avatars on the 360, where you could like take the pose that you wanted and then do the background you wanted and all of that sort of stuff. which I thought was kind of cool that you'll be able to have your profile picture. You can create it a little bit and design it, which I thought was pretty fun. So,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Jesse, do you have any, thoughts about that? About all of this business?
Nothing that hasn't already been said. You guys pretty much all covered it.
Okay. Very cool. So those are the leaks. Yeah, those are the leaks, right? And the Nintendo Ninjas showed up and
Nintendo Ninjas. Get their name right or they'll come after you too.
Oh, yeah. The Nintendo Ninjas showed up and there was a little bit of some there was some
Please understand.
As they took it away and left. Okay, so that's the leaks. Next up, we do have a few more things here. The Nintendo account, there was some updates to the Nintendo account stuff, which is different from My Nintendo, by the way. This is Nintendo account, which is not your Nintendo Network ID either. There's a My Nintendo account, Nintendo Network ID, and your Nintendo account.
It was really confusing.
Yeah.
Which yeah, it absolutely is. Like, I was like, do I really need to actually do this? I don't think I do. Do I? No, I do. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I already have this picked out. Well, wait, no, I don't. Let's do it anyway. Okay.
Yeah. That was a weird thing. I thought that I had set up something already and I was like, oh wait, no, I don't. That's, that's weird. So yeah. Exactly. So you can go and actually, I guess your ID on the Wii U was your Nintendo Network ID, which is different. So. Anyway, so you can go now to, accounts.nintendo.com, and you can choose your ID for your Nintendo account, which is exciting. Did you guys go and do that? Like, have you got your account and everything and all of
I did, yeah. Yeah, I went and booked up mine.
Cool. Yeah, so yep, that
absolutely.
Yeah, and basically, other than that, there's not a whole lot of additional stuff. There is a check-in tab now, which you can scan your QR code if you go to Nintendo World or whatever. I've never seen anywhere where people actually scan this yet. I don't know, Chris, if you're aware of anything where you can use the check-in function.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, so.
I almost, I kind of find it interesting that this change also came very just, I think, a day before the Nintendo pop-up has been occurring, where Nintendo's kind of taking this like living room in a box, essentially across the U.S., going to California, Colorado, and New York.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if you kind of show up, you'd show up there and they could scan your QR code or something. I don't know. That feels like it'd be an easy catch there.
But, well, and I think that in the future, this may be a little bit of future proofing sort of stuff. That's because we do know that this is something that you will use in like the Universal Studios thing, right? Where you go there and you actually scan that in, and maybe you get some Nintendo points, or get like a theme for your Switch or something, right? I don't know.
Yeah, they have alluded to that sort of thing before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? You could maybe, what would be really cool is you go into this little shop in Universal Studios. See, this is me just speculating irresponsibly, entirely, but you go into Nintendo World or whatever, and you scan in your QR code and they 3D print you an amiibo of your Mii, right there. And then you walk out. Like that would be super cool. I don't know.
And then Chris has 121.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's lots of different things for it, but you could do that. There are also, from a parenting perspective, of course, being Nintendo dads, the parental controls are on there as well, which everything that I've seen so far tells me that the one thing that we can almost get that is almost guaranteed that we haven't heard more about yet. And maybe there's not really a whole lot to say other than just launch the app, but, the parental controls app, I'm like 98-99% positive that this is going to be available to download, when the Switch launches. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it shows up within the next week on the App Store, because you can do the,
I think so,
because even in some of those, in the menus and stuff like that, there was basically go like icons, go to the App Store, go to Google Play or whatever. So Like I did set up some accounts for my kids so that those will be available for them to use. And I'm definitely going to be using that. I'm still nervous, and maybe this is a bigger conversation, but Justin, are you nervous about leaving your Switch in the dock when it's not being used? Because I feel like that is the last place that I ever would want to leave it, is within arm's reach of my children.
So just to verify, am I nervous if I leave the Nintendo Switch in its dock attached to the telly?
Yes. Like, are you planning on leaving it that and that being its sort of standard home?
For primarily, yes. That will primarily be its at-home location, like 90% of the time.
Do you have, like, some sort of a locked cabinet?
No, I don't. But actually,
your kids are older than mine, though. But I mean, that also means that maybe they're even more mobile and more likely to carry it somewhere where they could drop it.
Well,
that's what you're worried about.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I'm going to be straight honest with you. I have my DS my 3DS in my office with me. My daughters will come in very often and say, like, "Hey, Dad, can we play the DS?" I'm like, "Absolutely." And like, they'll go and play it for a couple hours and then come back. And I don't know what they have touched beforehand.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like they have licked their hands, found everything sticky in the house, and then go and play with my DS. And I'm like, I don't know what's like. I have to like basically wash the whole DS down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, everything is sticky. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing. That's a little bit of my concern with the Switch. But for me, for the Switch, it is primarily going to be a home-based console. And I'm going to basically have the sad puppy Joy-Con device already like pre-installed and set up. And so it's like you would have to make the effort to put on the Joy-Cons, take it away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking away that option for them to easily pull out the tablet part of it. So
right.
That's mine. And then when I travel for work will probably be the times that I'm going to be like, no, guys, this is Daddy's now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taking it now for a week. Bye bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
being a Nintendo dad's complicated, huh?
This whole Switch thing is
there's a lot of strategy to this thing, Chris.
Yeah, there's definitely like this premeditated sort of, okay, well, like, when are we going to, when are we not? And I think that I think for me too, like, sometimes that's kind of how I have to play it with the gamepad too. Like, if I leave the gamepad out, then I'll like wake up on a Saturday morning and my kids have very quietly snuck downstairs and not woken us up, which I am grateful for, until I like wake up at 10 o'clock and realize that for some reason they've been up at 6:30 and have been watching the Wii U gamepad Netflix the entire time. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. I don't know if they have like the worst cold imaginable with like, if they sneezed the entire time, but the amount of splatter all over that gamepad, especially that black one that just, I mean, it's bad enough with fingerprints, but with like spittle and I don't know what's going on. Like you said, Justin, like there's the amount of gross all over that is terrible. But the Switch is mainly going to be a handheld for me, actually. Yeah,
and that was a positive thing about the Wii U gamepad, is that thing was like a Fisher Price durable, right? Like I'm actually surprised at no point have we heard like a news report of like, breaking news, man was killed by his girlfriend with a Wii U tablet. weather at 7, because I mean, that thing was just solid, right? And it's got those ridges. I mean, you could weigh down a small child with that thing. Just, you know, it's getting windy, hold the tablet, you're fine. So, but I definitely, you know, I watched Kit and Krista's unboxing of that thing today. And I'm like, oh dear God, that is thin. That is small. That is thin. And that is going to break if I drop it.
Yep. Especially with how long it is. I worry that like, yes, those are probably held in pretty well, those Joy-Cons, but you can't see me right now because my camera wasn't working, but you can imagine holding the Joy-Cons and then just bend them back. Like like, where are the weak points on this thing? Because that's where I'm.
Well, when you've seen that video with the stand, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. That stand. Yeah. That was clearly designed for that exact reason, right? That stand will just pop right off. It reminds me of like the old Transformers that you bend that joint the wrong way and it will intentionally pop off. Right? Like, at least my impression, but over time that's going to be an issue too. So I don't know. Yeah, so that's these are the kind of things that I think we're thinking about as the Switch gets closer, is like, okay, like the practicality of this is setting in. So yeah, I am excited with the controls thing though. I think that will be an interesting, I saw somebody on Twitter this week who was like, I think I'm just going to set up the parental controls for my own account and set time limits just so that I don't play like 20 hours like in 3 days of Zelda, just because I got stuff to do.
I hope I play 20 hours in 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And like, once that initial weekend is gone, I'm like, all right, reality's got to set back in again. So let's figure something out. But
I blacked out and it was Monday. I don't know what happened. Which is weekend. I went on a Zelda bender.
Yeah. I'm already anticipating that happening, but, yeah, anything else about that? I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Next up, we have there's a few small little updates. Press have their Switch units now. If you haven't seen Game Explain's video where Andre kind of unboxes his
boxes.
By the way, the number of things that Nintendo sent to Andre at Game Explain, man, like craziness. I'm sure that they send them to like to everybody who's a big hot shot like that. I don't know. I was pretty jealous at that point, but so they have theirs there. And basically I thought it would be interesting for everybody just to know what the dates are. So tomorrow is when the embargo lifts for the Switch preview, which is, I think, I'm assuming that like then they can go and do their unboxings. They can do their, maybe sort of walkthrough of the OS, that kind of stuff. So tomorrow is going to be a cool day. There's going to be some preview stuff going on tomorrow. Friday is the Zelda preview, which I'm guessing that's like impressions and stuff like that. Early impressions. Maybe they can start posting some footage. I'm not too sure. But there is a preview that will be available on Friday, the 24th. And then the actual embargo for the review of the Switch hardware is on the 1st. So that is the Wednesday before the Friday. So Switch hardware reviews will be on the 1st, which will be Thursday. So the 2nd will be the review for Zelda. And then the 3rd is Switchmas itself. So the actual release date. Justin, you and I are going to midnight launch. Chris, are you doing the midnight launch thing? Are they doing that where you?
They might be, but I'm not planning on it. I've got, I've actually got two on pre-order right now. I got one with Amazon and one with Target. And, you know, I think I get a discount if I buy it at Target, but I'm not sure I'm going to actually get it at launch if I get it from them. So I'm trying to figure out which one of these to keep and which one to cancel. And I'm just hoping that it actually does show up on launch day, whichever option I pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. By the way, what I thought was interesting, looking back at this schedule, did anybody see anyone who got a copy of 1-2 Switch? Like as far as like actual reviewers sending out their stuff?
Apparently NOC, Nintendo of Canada, has been sending out 1-2 Switch to their distributors who are getting games and consoles.
Okay. Huh. Okay.
But nothing from NOA that I heard.
NOA, maybe somebody like IGN or something got it. I don't know. But, yeah, that seems a little bit weird that at least for this, what they're really doing, again, their messaging really is, especially for the hardcore audience, Zelda, Zelda, mm-hmm. Zelda, right? Like that is the only thing that they're driving home, with a side order of 1-2 Switch for those who they feel are interested.
Well, with Zelda, they better get a head start on that. It's a pretty massive game. With 1-2 Switch, I could see it showing up just a couple of days before, sometime early next week or even late next week, and I think they'd still be able to get it taken care of in a timely manner. So yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Chris, as someone who wrote for Nintendo Power and probably went through several console launches during your time there, how does this like preview and the embargoes and the reviews kind of correspond with your experience?
I mean, I can only imagine that it's nothing like what I went through. I was there for the Wii launch and the Wii U launch. And with Wii, I was there at Nintendo working out of Nintendo's offices in Redmond, and you know, we could go over to the treehouse and see things if we needed to, or we would have systems there at our desk for, you know, I think after they were shown at E3 that year, we basically were able to get access to them after that and play any of the demos that had been shown to the press and other people who attended the show. And, you know, we basically had access after that for several months, not all the time. Sometimes we have to give them back to other people because they needed the systems and there weren't enough to go around. But, you know, we weren't handled the same way as traditional press was. Mm-hmm. So it's just a completely different sort of thing. Plus, Nintendo has changed the way that they roll things out since then. And back then, you know, with Wii, it was their Blue Ocean strategy. They weren't really terribly focused on the core market. And certainly social media wasn't a big presence either, so they weren't really worried about that either. So, you know, we had our massive lead times with Nintendo Power. We had to see things, you know, 2 or 3 months before that, before what we'd write about would go into print and people would see it. And so we had to take that into account. So there were all sorts of things that changed the rollout plans compared to the way things are done now, where it's expected that people will get it and then it could be up on YouTube within a matter of minutes or hours, if not days. So it's very, very different from then. And then as far as Wii U goes, that came out right around the time that Nintendo Power was closing its doors. So it was kind of like pulling teeth to do proper coverage of that thing. So again, a completely different situation from anything else I've encountered.
And what about like what about like the 3DS? That was somewhere in the middle too, right? Was that like a similar sort of situation, or what was that like?
I guess that was the most traditional. We got our hardware, you know, probably a couple of weeks beforehand as far as actual retail units go. But yeah, they would have special systems that they would bring in that we would be able to use to play pre-release games. And boy, the security on that stuff was crazy. All kinds of NDAs we had to sign. They would literally chain the systems to our desks so that we would be able to play them in the office. Then there were special ones that we could use to capture screenshots. And yeah, the security was very, very tight on that stuff. I can't really remember what the time frame was. But did get the opportunity to see things early. But yeah, there were restrictions that came with it for sure.
They don't let you keep the model that they have at E3 that the devices are tethered to.
Just the booth babe that just hangs out in your office.
Unfortunately, not.
That's awesome.
You'd have Reggie come by to check out security personally, but no booth babes.
Oh wow, yeah, they weren't messing around there. Well, I guess at that point you guys were independent from Nintendo then, though, right? For the 3DS, yeah, okay,
you're right.
So they were much more, there was cautious. Much less. They were much more cautious about stuff like that. Yeah, that makes sense.
As a person who's gone through these kind of launches, Chris, and obviously having worked, you know, with Nintendo and then, you know, not directly with Nintendo, and then seeing their approach now for very, very much so social media based, right? Mm. Getting out to the major distributors and kind of like you said, like they get the box and within minutes it's unboxed. How do you see that messaging, or how do you feel about that methodology, I guess, from someone who's kind of worked kind of different angles on it?
Well, I'm happy to see that Nintendo has been able to evolve. Like I said, they're a very massive ship. It can be very hard to turn the thing around. And so, you know, back when, you know, Wii was the big thing and when we were on Nintendo Power, we thought, well, you know, shouldn't we have some presence on social media? Maybe we should have a Facebook page. And, you know, we talked about that for a long time and tried to go back and forth. And in the end, we never end up doing any Nintendo Power presence on social media. And then, you know, they had changes in management. New people came in, people who were more open to trying new things, people who saw that, yeah, this is what a lot of companies are doing. This is important to have. And so, you know, they were able to make things happen and things did change. And it's just changing with the times. They're able to adapt. And sometimes it was a little slower than we would have liked, but I'm glad that they are adapting and they are able to, you know, meet this new kind of media.
Mm-hmm. And nice, it's interesting too, looking at like, looking at Nintendo, the new Nintendo, I would even say the Nintendo of 2017 versus even 2016, really, that we kind of had hints of with, the January reveal, right? Where everybody's up on stage and that sort of stuff. Does that feel to you, and I don't know how much interaction you had, if it was just with NOA or if you had some with Japan as well, but like, does that seem as like, as an outsider, that seemed very like, whoa, hey, this feels different. Does that feel the same way? Like, are you kind of seeing it the same way too? Or is that?
Well, that was certainly a special and different kind of event. You know, they haven't done E3 presentations on the stage for a long time, and this was sort of going back to that kind of thing. You know, they've been very focused on the Nintendo Directs, these things that were, you know, pre-made and polished up and had everything nailed down to a T. And it was kind of nice to see them doing things that could be a little more alive and a little more spontaneous. And I think it just spoke to the significance of having a hardware unveiling, a global hardware unveiling that was going to be seen by people in Japan and the US and all over the world, more than it speaks to anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's and it's interesting too with seeing some of these people that we haven't seen before. Like, I wonder if we'll see them more often. Like, what's his name? All I can think of is the magician, but
I know who you're talking about. I don't remember the name either off the top of my head, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, the guy who hopefully was in the videos and stuff like that. It'd be cool to see more of that. I don't know, but I guess maybe the other part of me thinks that NOA that may have been a one-time thing, and NOA comes back in, and you know, we're gonna get Nintendo Minute and Treehouse and Nintendo Directs and stuff again moving forward, and maybe that was a one-off. I don't know, but
yeah, I kind of think it was just for an event of that significance.
Yeah,
I figure they'll probably be going back to those Directs come E3, but who knows? Maybe they'll have an actual E3 show again. I actually like those, so I hope
yeah,
they
that'd
will.
Be really
that'd
cool.
Be nice.
I would like that if they did that for sure.
I love hearing the live reaction to that sort of thing. That's what I miss
yeah.
the most.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Cool. Well, as far as any other, let's take a look at the news here. Okay, just a couple more news things, I guess. Very, very quickly, Zelda Amiibo. We did get a look at the back of the box of the Zelda Amiibo, which so now we know what they do. Which they all just are chests, basically, right? Like even the big
spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah. exactly. Yeah, they're all gear and stuff like that. So. I think Game Explain has a video where they kind of go over all of those and stuff like that. But yeah, so there you go.
I'd actually avoided that news.
Oh, did you really?
I had, yes. Oh. I missed almost nothing. So, oh well.
Yeah, I apologize.
It's kind of disappointing. I wish it were. I was hoping that some would lead to some special, you know, mini dungeons or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was
nice.
And that was actually the interesting part about it, Chris, is as I was watching, I was very kind of enthusiastic. And I guess I'll come back to you in a second with your, you know, 120 growing amiibos. I was kind of very enthusiastic for like, yeah, I'd love to pick up these amiibos. They're awesome. I love the amiibos. But then I was like, what do they do? And then to just find out that it's a chest drop, and it's like, hey, here's a bow and here's an arrow. And I was kind of like, well, can I just find that bow and arrow in the game? Right. Like, sure, I can tap the amiibo and get it early, but like, I feel like I'm now just kind of being spoon-fed stuff. I guess as a man who has 120 amiibo, what's your thought on the amiibo situation and how it's being used in games? Do you think there's any good examples of it? And you know, you just mentioned kind of your disappointment for just being a treasure drop, right? So talk to us, I guess, a little bit about that.
I'll be honest. I don't really get them for their in-game functionality. I get them for their collectability and just the fact that I like seeing all these Nintendo characters rendered very nicely, all in a unified line, being able to sit there and decorate my shelf. So that's what it mostly is for me. Mm-hmm. I'd have to sit down and think about if there's anything that they've really done in games I've been really, really impressed with. But nothing is coming to mind off the top of my head.
Like I always kind of loved the way the Splatoon one was done. I thought this like the gear, not necessarily, but more the like in the game you had to tap and they had like an amiibo box and it kind of like formed there. I thought that was kind of a fun little.
See, trick. I feel like the reverse of what you just said, I think, is like the gear I thought was like, oh, okay, there's gear there, whatever. But the fact that they actually locked a pretty significant part of the single player content with all of those missions. That were there and the missions and I think even those mini games, those little mini games while you're waiting for a match to start and stuff like that, was all locked behind the amiibo. And I thought that was a little bit like amiibo is such a catch 22 for them, because if they make it too good, then it feels like it's basically additional DLC and it's locked behind a paywall and that kind of thing. And you get people complaining about that. And if you don't give enough, then it feels like, oh, well, then what is the point even, right? And so this is really delicate balance of, I think Mario Kart 8 actually does it fairly well, where it's just like me racer costumes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, actually.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I think Smash Brothers was another really good one.
Better in theory than actual execution, but it wasn't bad.
It was fun
training those guys up for a while.
Yeah, and it ended up not being very compelling as far as like, oh, I trained my guy. It's like, well, kind of. Really, like the difficulty slider went up the more you played with them, and supposedly they learned from you, but I never really got that sense either. So
it was hard to tell.
Yeah, it was hard to tell for sure. So it was I don't know. It is such a delicate balance for them. And I think maybe this is, I'll have to see, like, I don't have any of the Zelda amiibo pre-ordered. So I'm a little bit, I'm basically just going to be walking in on launch day, or launch night, I should say, and just looking and saying, okay, like, what is available here? What can I take? What amiibo can I walk away with? I don't need all of them. I still don't have a Zelda amiibo, like Princess Zelda, so that's the one where I'm like, it would be weird to only buy Zelda though. So I probably have to buy Link and probably then the Guardian, but then I'm also paying Canadian prices, which means that they're like at least a third more expensive. So I don't know. It's such a dangerous road to go down. I don't know. But it'll definitely be interesting to see. And Justin, I just wanted to point out that last week we had a very similar discussion about chests and with the DLC, and yet somehow it's an interesting, basically the DLC is going to give you three chests and these amiibo basically do the exact same thing. Probably different items, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, no Switch shirts here.
Yeah. You gotta have that Switch shirt.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, that's the stupidest thing.
Yeah, that's and I know, and I remember hearing, I think it was your last podcast too, Chris, like just how just kind of jarring that can be, right? Like all of a sudden a Switch t-shirt in a game. So I don't know.
Have they shown what it's going to look like? I mean, maybe it's going to be like totally Hyrule-ized. So
see, that would be
some sort of really neat tunic with a Switch logo sort of, you know, worked in and looks really classy. But if it's just like a t-shirt like your Mii wears, that's like, I don't know about this. I'm
fully just expecting a red t-shirt with the white logo.
I actually, if it is an actual, like, you know, with maybe some cool embroidery or something like that on it, and it's more of like a, more of like a tunic sort of thing, with maybe a little bit more of like a crimsony sort of look instead of like that bright red Nintendo Switch color. Like if they can make it look like it fits, that will go a long way for me, because otherwise nice. I don't want to use it otherwise, but
I'm still planning on equipping it no matter how stupid it looks up until the point when I need the the winter shirt.
Yeah, maybe it is a winter shirt.
Good point.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to let my Link run around topless because he's a sexy beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
A little bit of Switch man thong, maybe. That could be interesting, too. Sorry, am I just the only one that thought that? No, okay, that was just me. Sorry, my
All
bad.
All right, okay, yeah, and wonder. The title of the show is, yeah, Jesse's already writing it down. Good man. All right. Very cool.
While we're on that amiibo, while we're sitting in that amiibo pocket, I want to ask Chris though, with a man who has 120, just like every parent has to, you've only got to pick your favorites. What are your top? What are the top five favorite amiibos that they've done?
Five. Well, my number one is easy to pick. It's actually a Zelda one. It is the Wolf Link amiibo with Midna riding him. Love that one. Super detailed. And it's got that great little base. It's like almost two figures in one. So I really like that one. I have a soft spot for Chibi Robo because I never thought Chibi Robo would be immortalized as an amiibo. So that's a really great one. I'm just going to say Mega Man because I love my Mega Man. So there's that.
Do you have the Box Boy one?
Yes, I do. Although I mistakenly called him Box Boy on the show recently. Of course, his name is actually what, QB or Cubby or
oh,
something.
Oh, that's right.
QB.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, he's my least favorite because he's really tiny. He's a cube with two eyes and two little spaghetti limbs, and I can't believe I paid, you know, $15 for that. It's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
And it has absolutely no functionality in anything I own either, as far as I know. So, what was it, three or four? I don't know if I could name any more off the top of my head, but okay. I don't know. Maybe Lucina. And maybe Captain Olimar, because I love the way he's a little, also nice. Very diorama-like with the Pikmin in addition to Olimar himself.
Plus, there's something about the way that they did that dome, too, right? With his helmet, that's really cool.
It's pretty neat.
I like that. Very cool. Mm. All right. Well, the last thing in our story, in our news here, I think we can actually roll into what we've been playing, because I think that is relevant for sure. So let's get into it.
All right, do it.
All right, so what we've been playing this week, just kind of going off what we said last time. Last week we talked about the Pokemon Go update. I have played it, and I don't know if anybody else here has played it yet.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, and it's you have too, Chris?
I have.
Yeah. Are you a big Pokemon Go? Like, have you done a bunch of that so far?
I continue playing it. I've played it, you know, almost every day. They keep making me come back for these daily bonuses. And there's a park near my place that I walk to regularly. It's a great place to catch Pokemon. There's a whole bunch of Pokestops there. So, yeah, I do play it on a regular basis like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the update, basically, for those of you who don't know, they added the second generation, you know, so all the Johto, what other ones, other than the legendaries, is there anything else that they have that they've left out this time? I'm not aware of any other than just the,
I don't know, but I know there's 80 of them.
Yeah. Which I guess maybe is which would suggest that there was like a total of 20 that either had already been put in the game, which I guess there was, well, like eight of those.
Yeah, I think so.
And then there would have been ones that the new legendaries, but that's only like another five. And so it feels like there's more that maybe they've left out here, I guess, unknown. I don't know if anybody's seen those yet. But yeah, so there's a few different, lots of different Pokemon that they've added to the game. They've also added some new items and stuff. I played it. I like the updates. There's some quality of life updates too that are pretty cool. What's your take on it, Chris? Like you've been trying it out. How do you feel about it?
Well, my opinion of Pokemon Go is decidedly mixed. I mean, if it weren't for the fact this is a free game, I don't think I'd be playing it at all. And I'm not even sure why I keep playing it, because there's really no end game. There's really no goal. It's just like, okay, I'm just going to keep throwing these balls and catching these Pokemon. And I haven't spent any money on it. And most of my Pokemon are like way too low level to even conquer a gym. So I just keep playing it, and I'm not really sure why. But the fact that there are new Pokemon and lots of new things to discover, you know, it's made me play a lot more than I had been any time in the past several weeks or months. So, you know, I guess it's a big success if it's making me do that. You know, maybe I've caught, 20 new Pokemon. I actually ran out of regular Pokeballs. I played so much, completely out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just launched this app to look at it again, and I'm catching a Swinub right now, which is awesome. Maybe.
Yeah. Cool.
I just counted the Gen 2s that I got, and not including the baby that hatched before this update. I've caught, I think, including evolutions, 21 or 22, I already forgot, of the new ones.
Wow.
Including getting the Umbreon and Espeon evolutions.
Oh, because the naming trick does work, apparently, right? There's some names out there. What are the names for those? Do you have those?
I do have those, and there is a video on Nintendo Dad's channel that shows this.
Oh, okay, cool.
Nice, that's right. Try that out.
So those are very cool. So yeah, I don't know. I like it. I do like the quality of life updates too, as far as like when a new Pokemon shows up, that they've added the new berries. So there is a berry that doubles the number of candy you get when you catch Pokemon. There's also one that reduces the amount of activity, which, you know, like you'll throw the ball and then the Pokemon will like kind of like roar at you or something, and then it bounces off when it hits them. Right.
So some of the new flyers will actually zigzag, and it's really a pain to hit when they start going left and right.
So yeah,
I think like that, that's what that's for.
Yeah, so there's, I think they even did that to some of the old ones too, so that they're a little bit harder to catch. Which is, I think that's cool. They're mixing it up. They're making it a little bit, you know, they're making it a little bit more varied in that experience. But, yeah, I don't know. For the most part, it's like there are more Pokemon. Apparently, it's doing what it's supposed to do because this is like. They're back at the top of the app store, top grossing apps.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, which is crazy cool. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, okay. You added a bunch of new character models into this game, but where's the battling? You know, where's the trading? All of that kind of stuff is still not here. And I wonder if they're holding out for like a huge blowout this summer, and if they're going to try and recapture it then, and introduce all of that then, so that you can go and do that instead of giving it now. I wonder if they're holding that off to try and recreate the buzz. I don't know, but in the meantime, it's interesting. The other thing we didn't mention was the new clothing. If you go to it, to the style tab, you can now purchase clothes to wear.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. So if you go to the style tab where you can kind of change your trainer's outfit, you can now pay upwards, like quite a bit of money for some of these things.
There is real world money.
Well, like in game currency, like the gold coins, the same currency that you would use to buy, like Pokeballs or whatever.
Use real currency to buy the coins and then buy the coins to buy everything else.
Yeah. So, and again, just as a reminder, again, this is in Canadian dollars. I don't know what this would be. So, like, if you were to spend, I think the equivalent would be $10 will get you 1,200 Pokecoins. If you go to the style tab and are kind of looking through there, if you want to buy a top hat for your trainer, that's 800 coins. So, so like, it's very much, like, you can buy some cheaper stuff. Like, there's a little beret sort of hipster hat that's like 100 coins, or you can buy I almost bought glasses because I have glasses. I almost bought the glasses. They're only 50 coins. But you can buy all sorts of stuff, and really you can buy like a suit, like some sort of like a cool suit jacket, like a business coat thing, a blazer. There we go. That's what it's called. Get a blazer for yourself so that you're all fancy there. So there's lots of different stuff that you can pay for, which I think is both expected and kind of like, oh yeah, we're going that direction still. But I have not seen any of the new starters though in here in the game.
Nope, me neither.
I wonder if that's something that, well, it's no, on
there's,
this.
There's, I think they're in the, there. They're spawning. I've caught a few of them.
Okay. Yeah. See, cause I haven't seen any of those, and, but yeah, I'm probably soon going to be going to the West Edmonton Mall, which is one of the biggest malls in North America. It's an awesome place to go do Pokemon Go stuff. And I'll probably take my son there and we'll enjoy that some more too. So yeah, Justin, did you play any Pokemon Go this week?
You know, I have, but I'm actually almost at a level 25.
What?
I have, I've just been kind of putting away at it, so... Yeah, it's kind of got the hooks, like Chris called, like where you every day it's kind of okay. I'll go to a stop and I'll get my bonus for checking in or catch one a day. And yeah, I'm just about level 25.
Yeah, I'll be hitting 25 tomorrow.
See, I'm only level 22. What am I doing, man? 22 and a half, but you know.
Yeah,
I just hit 23 over the weekend.
Yeah, so it'll.
But to Chris's point, though, you're absolutely right. Like, there is no end game, right? Like for me, I was like, oh, maybe I'll reach 20, you know, level 25. And I'm like, no, then I'll just keep going. Right. But I mean, like, feels like there's an accomplishment there somewhere, but there is no end game to it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely, it's interesting. It's something that that I want to get into more, but at the same time, every time I try and get more into it, then I'm like, yeah, but then I'm not getting anything more out of it. You know, like, so I don't know. It'll be, it's something, it's cool though, that they're kind of back on top as far as being into that, bringing all those people back. And I think that they being on the top of the iTunes top grossing again, I think is largely probably a product of the fact that you can buy clothes in the game for yourself now. So, that's Pokemon Go. Anything else to add to that before we move on, guys?
Do you want the names of what you need for the new Eevee evolutions?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. If you name your Eevee Sakura, Sakura, and then evolve it, you'll get the Espeon.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the Umbreon, name your Eevee Tamao, Tamao.
Tamao. Okay.
And again,
all right, cool.
Just like the first generation ones, it only works the first time. After that, it'll be random.
Tamao.
Yep.
All right, I'm doing
then
that.
Then again,
one.
If you go back and watch the video, you'll see me doing the renaming and then doing the evolution.
Very cool. I'm totally gonna do that later. Right on.
I just caught a Ditto in my apartment.
What? Was that your first Ditto?
Nope.
Oh, see, I have not gotten
third or fourth, maybe.
See, I have not gotten Dittos. I get so jaded catching Pidgeys and Rattatas that I'm like, never again. But I guess
like an hour after the update went live, I saw a tweet that someone was all excited to catch a Hoot Hoot, but it was a Ditto. It was
that's what mine was.
Yep. And was upset because they said they shouldn't be doing that to Gen 2s.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep, Maya was masquerading as a hoot as well.
Oh, that's funny. So that's Pokemon Go. As far as other stuff going on, I have been plugging away at Fire Emblem Heroes. I don't know. This game has a wall that I have very clearly hit, where I've got a couple of level 40s. I've got I have several different characters that I'm trying to level up, but once mm-hmm. they reach about level 30. It becomes such a grind, even when you're doing the training tower where they, because the, it's not like a predictable sort of it, like if you do a training level that is outside of their range, they either get their butt kicked because it's too high of a level or they're over leveled for it and they get almost zero experience. And so it's really becoming this sort of slog of like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this and keep trying it.
My level of slog is different than your levels of slog because, you know, my guy got to like 19, 20 and 21 on a lot of my characters and I'm already like, grinding. I'm already tired of this.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
I did get 1 5-star.
You did? Who was it?
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember. Give me a minute to look.
Yeah. I've got a few different.
Again, I haven't. The only Fire Emblem characters I know of are from Smash and Tokyo Mirage Sessions. So,
right. Yeah, it's. I've got a few different 5-stars now. I've got who is it? The Archer dude who's supposedly like the best one in the game right now, Takumi. I've got Camilla, who's like the axe wielding dragon lady, with a who's well endowed. Robin. I've got a 5-star Robin, which is cool.
Oh, nice.
So I've got, yeah, like, and again, I spent a little bit, but most of them have actually come from like, from their pulls that I got just from getting orbs in the game. So,
Kaeda, Caeda.
Okay.
She's a Pegasus Riding Swordswoman.
Okay. Cool. And she's 5-star?
Yes.
Cool.
That's my only 5-star. I have a good handful of 4-stars, and then there's still 1 3-star I keep in my main party.
Mm-hmm.
That's, Sully.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've got 5 5-stars here. I've got it open now.
I actually tried to level her up to a 4-star, but I don't have enough shards.
Oh, yeah. So here's the problem, though, is that I've got five, five, 5 5-star characters, but 2 of them are archers and 2 of them are blue tome users. So I'm like,
oh,
so I'm like, okay,
they don't make a good party.
Yeah. So I'm like, I've got like, I'm trying to level up Takumi because he's going to end up being way better than this other, what's his name? George. He's a better archer. Because he actually
aimed that'll put fear in your heart,
George. And then Linda is also a blue tome user, but I think she's a horse. No, maybe she's not horseback. No, she's not. Anyway, so it's fun. I continue to play it. It's not the, I don't know, the, like even the special maps that get you the characters and stuff like that. Those are no longer. Those don't even like. I think that they just are on like a 1 or 2 week. Cycle because they're coming up and they're like every day and they're still the same ones as before. Like they're not new. I'm not unlocking new characters anymore. So,
so they just keep rotating, huh?
Yeah, they just keep rotating. They don't have any new ones anymore. So apparently I have them all. I don't know. But, again, it's still fun. It's interesting how like the summoning is actually like, no, you're done. Like you can't get the one, like the characters who are the best right now. I don't know if you can even get them at their highest level anymore. You know, the sort of, but then again, all of the other ones are like a little bit better, but anyway. They've cycled through and they have those new heroes that are in right now.
So I don't know if you noticed this, Zach, cause you haven't brought it up yet. You know, you're able to look at the percent chances of getting 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, or 5-star
right.
Focus, whatever that means. If you do a pull and you don't get any 5-stars,
mm-hmm.
the odds of getting a 5-star or a 5-star focus will each go up by 0.25%.
Yeah, so I have like a 3.25 right now on mine, is what it says.
Yeah, I think the next time I try, I have a 3.5%.
Oh, really? Yeah. And does that reset if you get a 5-star?
It does reset if you get a 5-star because okay. I got a 5-star on my second set of pulls and then the third set of pulls was down to 3% again.
Huh. Interesting. So yeah, so I don't know. It's fun. It's a fun little time waster thing, but I'm not super crazy about it. Like it burned out pretty fast.
So, yeah. I was just thinking the same thing. Burned out a lot faster than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Not done with it yet though. I'm going to still keep playing.
Yeah. And I think that there are like they had those, you know, the paralogs, which I think is cool. Like I definitely will keep it installed because I think that they are going to probably add more stuff, you know, like on a pretty consistent basis. And I'll go in and I'll play those levels and I'll do whatever they, you know, whatever the little things are and continue to experience what they put out. But, I still haven't beaten the main story on Lunatic because like the second half, like basically the last chapter is entirely level 40 levels and I don't even have a team good enough to do that yet. So
yeah. Yes. The last game I played last night, I pretty much rage quit when I saw what they did. I actually took a screenshot and put it on Twitter. I'm like, this is just cheating. Bunch of walled off areas where a lot of little rooms where you had to break through the half broken walls. And inside 3 of the little rooms were 2 archers and a ninja, which isn't trying to break out themselves. So the only way to get them is unless you can throw, you know, unless you have a spellcaster or an archer, is you got to sit there and break through the wall while they're beating the crap out of you.
Yeah, I'm so like, you got to...
No, I'm not even playing this. Quit. Surrender.
You got to craft a team specifically for that, though, then. That's the whole point. Yeah. But, I mean, at that point, if you don't have a ranged character, then you're screwed.
I don't have I have a few higher level characters, but most... I don't have so many that I can play with. You know, this basically works down to a job system in Final Fantasy, which... I as I've said many times, I'm not a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're swapping characters around instead of jobs. There's not much difference in that.
Yeah. So that's that. Fire Emblem Heroes, you know, still a force. Chris, is there anything that you've been playing this week as far as games that you want to kind of highlight or anything like that?
Well, let's see. I was playing a little bit of NES Classic. I was out of town this week. I was visiting my parents, my brother, because it's his birthday, and I brought my NES Classic with me. So I was playing a little bit of Zelda 2. The TV I hooked it up to, though, was a little bit laggy, so I wasn't doing great. Kind of got my butt kicked a little bit, and I'm just going to kind of pretend that game never happened, just pick up from where I left off the previous time. Nah. But still, it's always fun to play some Zelda 2.
Nice.
Then I was also playing some Virtual Console Super NES Final Fight on my new 3DS because I got into an annoying little fender bender over the weekend. And I really wanted to see that one guy in that bonus stage after level two who cries about, oh, my car. So I thought that was the best way to do that. I really understand where he's coming from. It was not the mayor of the city who smashed my car up, but still, it was, you know, I can understand falling to your knees and crying over that.
It might as well have been.
Other than that, I've just been playing some RPGs on my PlayStation 3 in addition to Nintendo stuff. So
cool.
That's it for me.
Right on. Yeah, Jesse, what about you, man? What have you been playing?
So I did I finish in quotes. You know, I didn't 100% the game, but I did get to the credits rolls of Dragon Quest VIII.
Nice.
And
what was the final? What was the final hour? The final damage on that?
I think it was only like 60 hours.
Oh, that's not too bad.
It definitely less than Dragon Quest VII was.
Okay.
Yeah, and I did start a little bit into the post game, which in the post game you learn more about the hero, which was really interesting. And then you go through these extra challenges, and that's where I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'll go back to it again because it's, you know, it's now just like in the Fire Emblem, you know, it's just grind.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And also,
and then try again.
And also, Breath of the Wild next week.
That too.
Yeah. So, yeah, right on. Justin, you and I think have both. You probably have played a little bit more than I have this week. But I know at least one thing that you've been playing this week.
Yeah, I have been playing Tank Troopers for the Nintendo 3DS. This was an eShop exclusive that came out last Thursday. You know, we heard about this game first in September's Nintendo Direct when they started outlining what the 3DS lineup was going to be for the next 6 to 9 months. This is also where they revealed Pikmin for the 3DS and Super Mario Sports Star thing game. So, yeah, I've been playing it. It's actually not bad. I kind of feel like it was a little bit half effort here. So just for those of you that don't know much about it, you are basically a character in a tank and you roll around and complete missions. You combat against some enemies. But this game was definitely, and actually I'll step back. The premise of it sounds really cool, right? You should be able to jump online. You should be able to connect on the online functionality, play a friend on a battle. Sounds great. However, it is not Wi-Fi enabled playing. It is local wireless, and you can actually do up to 6 players, which is kind of cool. So if you have 6 friends who have 3DSs who are local to, you know, your room, you can all use the local play, which is great. They don't require the game, just one person does. So again, a great function of the Nintendo 3DS.
I think to clarify with that, there are two different modes. There's local wireless play, and then there's download play. If all of your friends have all their own unit and their own copy of the game downloaded, then you can play a competitive version of the game, a multiplayer version of that game where everybody can kind of select their own loadout, you know, where you've got your own tank and your own pilots that all have their own abilities and stuff like that. And if you don't have those, then basically you get
a stock offering.
Yeah. You get the vanilla experience where everybody has the same generic tank. So,
So it's kind of interesting. I mean, it was definitely designed you know, when you load into the interface at first to start the game up, the very first like loading select screen is the option number one is multiplayer or then single player. So again, they're promoting the multiplayer part of it first. Now the single player mode does contain, you know, 30 stages and levels you get to play, and maneuver around. It's pretty cool. It's, and the challenges in each level are relatively small. They're like 3 to 5 minutes long, and it's, you know, destroy all the enemies or move this ball from here to there or protect the base, destroy all the turrets, and it's just fog of war. Or there's just a fog that you can't see through anything. So it's kind of cool. It feels at times they took some inspiration from Splatoon. Like some of the enemies shoot paintballs at you, and if they hit you, it blocks your vision, and there's like paint dripping off your screen, which is kind of cool. So there's a lot of character and pizzazz in it, but it feels like it was a game that they just kind of threw together really quickly. And again, I think when you look at the eShop in Canada, it's still about $11.50. I think in the US it's $8. So, I mean, it's an easy pickup. So, I mean, if you think about time versus money probably put into a game, they probably didn't put a whole bunch of time. But I do think that there is some absolutely solid quality content here. And I think especially for kids, I think this is a great game for kids probably between the ages of 8 to 10. And again, if they all come over and they all have their own 3DS and they want to play, I could see kids just sinking in hours of this. Or if you're like at an airport or you're traveling, again, something where it's very portable and very easy to go against each other. So overall, Tank Troopers is not bad. You might want to check it out, but I definitely feel like Nintendo is missing a huge segment again, or an opportunity without having that online functionality. And again, we saw this also back when they did Super Mario 3D, Super Mario Maker for the 3DS as well. Feels like they're almost there, but they're just missing that online connectivity, which is so important nowadays.
I wonder too.
Yeah, no, online's a bummer.
Yeah, I really wanted to just jump on and like play Zach. And it's funny, right? Because I mean, like we can do that for Metroid Federation Force. Mm-hmm. So like you have the infrastructure, you know the idea behind it, but you can't do it for this. So it felt like a big miss.
You know what?
It's very bizarre.
I anticipate that that for the most part, games that come out for the 3DS moving forward are going to be a lot more like this, because the Switch is now the portable for the more mature audience that has those high expectations. And I think we might see the 3DS, if we do see that continued software development going on the 3DS, that they are going to be a little bit more bite size, a little bit more of like, yeah, it's for local multiplayer with kids and stuff like that, instead of really fleshing out this concept. Because I think that really deep within this game are some really, I think that there is a lot of potential that could really be fleshed out there. I think like the gameplay actually reminds me a lot of, there was a Wii U launch title called Tank Tank Tank.
About to ask about that. Actually,
yeah.
Where, ask how this one compared to that.
I feel like I can't remember. Tank 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 was a little bit louder and a little bit more bombastic, I guess, maybe. This one's a little bit slower and more deliberate, but there's so much. There are all of these different characters that can pilot the tank, and they all have different abilities, and you can kind of cycle between them, and there's some cool strategy involved there. I don't know how deep it gets, but there's a lot of that similar sort of, yeah, you know, there's no big boss battles, at least that I've seen yet either. So which was a real big draw for, like, I think Tank 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 was actually a really underappreciated Wii U launch game. My son loved that game when that first came out, and it's something that I'd be interested to go back to. Maybe it doesn't hold up, but it does definitely have that kind of, you know, it's that the perspective of, you know, even just the camera angle and whatever, where it's, you're right on the ground behind the tank, right? And that's how you're getting around and moving. So it's interesting, but there's a lot more of like prediction when you shoot. It's not rapid fire shooting like Tank 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 sometimes was. Whereas instead you fire a shell and then you watch your meter kind of recharge, and then you can shoot again. And so it's more of like, okay, well, I need to predict where is this person going to be with with respect to how, you know, in relation to how, where I am and where are they going and what direction and how fast are they moving. So sometimes it's like you actually have to aim ahead of them in order to hit them by the time the shell gets there and all that sort of stuff. So it's interesting. I'm interested in it. I definitely am going to try it with my son. My son has his own 2DS, and so I'm going to try the download play with him and see if he likes it, and then kind of go from there. I'm most interested in his take on it more than anything else, really. So yeah, I don't know. I'll check back in with that. As you know, provided that the Switch doesn't show up and completely distract entirely from that. But yeah, so that's pretty much what I've been playing. I also dug out Pikmin again, Pikmin 3, and I streamed a little bit of that, which was fun. Man, I forgot that game. That game is probably one of my like top three for the Wii U, and it was so early on, but it's so good. I really, really like that game.
Gorgeous too.
Yeah, totally. I totally forgot how just pretty that game is. The environments, the humor that's going on, the boss battles, all of that is super fun. And I just unlocked the blue Pikmin, so I have all the Pikmin now, and now I'm like going back and getting all the fruit from all the different levels, and man, that game's awesome. So yeah, did we get through everybody? Is that Justin, have you been playing anything else?
No, just Tank Troopers.
Cool. Right on. Well, Justin, do we have any emails or questions from social media or anything like that?
We don't have any of those things, but I'd love to let Chris have some time to kind of promote and kind of community spotlight anything he's working on, then maybe just have a little chat with him.
Right on, man. Well, hey, let me find where this is my catch-all bumper here. Oh, hang on. Where you guys won't be able to hear it anyway, but...
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you are going to get.
All right. Well, there you go. You never know what you're going to get. Chris Hoffman, what have you, you've got your own show now, right? So currently mm-hmm. you're doing Power Pros, which how long have you been doing that for?
Oh, about, a year and 8 months or something. We're up to episode 83 now.
That's
generally weekly.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And I've been listening to you guys basically since you started, and so really it's really interesting. Again, we had even talked before the show that you guys will talk about. I think you guys do a good job of covering like the collector's scene, which we don't always tend to cover as much, but yeah, so definitely go and check that out. Is there anything else as far as stuff that you've got going on, or what would you say about what you
Oh man, there's actually one really cool project I've been working on, and I wish I could actually say something about it, but I'm probably a week or two too early to be able to comment.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there's a neat project that hopefully I'll be able to let people know about soon.
Very cool. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
other than that, it'd be great to check out Power Pros Podcast.
Yeah.
If you can stand me here, maybe you can stand me there.
And it is an absolutely great podcast. It's
thank you.
So well done. As I was listening to it, I'm like, we should take some pointers. So yeah, really, really well done. And the industry knowledge that you guys bring is just tremendous as well. So
yep, trying to continue that Nintendo power spirit.
Mm-hmm. So maybe Chris, do you want to spend a little bit of time maybe talking about that experience for working for Nintendo Power? You've kind of talked about it before. You worked there for 7 years.
Yep, that's right.
And you kind of mentioned the pre-show, your role title changed, but maybe not necessarily your role at various times throughout the time. So I don't know, maybe kind of give us a bit of information on that experience and what your thoughts are on it.
Oh boy, man, I hardly know where to start. I mean, I wore a lot of different hats while I was at that job. I worked on the classified information section. I did the letters during part of that time. I was the previews editor. I was in charge of the download section. That was sort of a passion of mine, was trying to draw attention to these games that, you know, might not have gotten appreciated otherwise and that kind of flew under the radar. A lot of times that sort of stuff was just announced and put out there with no fanfare. And so I sort of wanted to champion that stuff and be able to say, hey, look, there actually is really good stuff on the Wii Shop Channel or DSiWare.
And then we still get stuff like that on the like the press, the Thursday morning press releases of what's coming up in the downloads. And the very bottom section is, and then the other games.
Yeah, well, I mean,
those are sometimes the interesting ones, and sometimes for the wrong reasons.
Often sometimes for the they belong reason. Down there. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it was sort of something new for Nintendo. They didn't really have, you know, downloadable titles before when I was working there. So when I was able to take over that section and start being able to do large features on games like that, you know, that was something I really enjoyed. Boy, what were the other sections I did? You know, obviously, you know, in the letters column, I had the Don't Hassle the Hoff column, mm-hmm. where, you know, originally, the original idea for that is that people would write in and they'd ask me some sort of semi-obscure question and I would answer. But somehow it turned into the Snarky Hoff column, and I'm not really sure how that happened, but I think it worked out for the best. And then in addition to that stuff, it was, you know, playing games for preview, playing games for review, playing games for features. Everyone on the Nintendo Power team had different third parties that they talked with all the time to try to stay on top of things. And, you know, I tried to be in touch with the different, you know, Japanese-centric companies as much as possible. You know, I was always bugging Capcom for more Mega Man, Ace Attorney information and things of that nature. So, yeah, I mean, everyone did a whole lot of different stuff at Nintendo Power. I mean, the team was a lot bigger when we were actually at Nintendo. We had, I think, 6 dedicated writers or editors, whatever you want to call them. Plus, we had 2, you know, overhead editors, you know, an executive editor, and then, boy, was it executive copy editor? And their job really was just purely editing and, you know, helping out the other writers. And then we had a whole separate design team. So that was like, you know, 14 people in-house there. And of course, a lot of the times in addition to just working on Nintendo Power, we would also do the player's guide. So sometimes I might only do, you know, a bare minimum on the magazine and do, you know, one little article and one review. And then I'd spend the rest of the month doing a, you know, Mario and Luigi strategy guide or something like that. But that's something you're able to do when you have a pretty big team. The team was a lot smaller when we came over to Future. And so I moved down from Seattle to Northern California. And then we had 4 editors there and 1 in-house designer. So a much smaller team to work with. But, you know, in some ways that was good because it was a team that worked really well together and we were all very dedicated and we, you know, knew each other, you know, sort of inside and out and were able just to work very well together as a unit. Anything else specific I can talk about?
Yeah, like I was just wondering as far as like, you know, as far as like behind the scenes, like misadventures and stuff like that. Like, I'm just wondering if you have any like crazy stories or like what were some of the most memorable moments of working, you know, at Nintendo Power, specifically like when you were on the inside, right? Like, is that something that is, like what was memorable about that? And was there any, do you have any sort of funny stories or anything like that that you can share?
Well, I mean, one thing that was funny was how much stuff they let us get away with. We had a lot of leeway when we were there in-house at Nintendo. And some of the stuff we did, I was really surprised by. Like, I remember one time for the letters column, I drew a picture of K.O. the Kangaroo with a knife stabbed in him. And we were actually able to run that in the magazine. We ran another picture where we photoshopped Toad's head onto Chainsaw Guy from Resident Evil 4. That's what he actually looked like under the mask. Get away with a whole bunch of weird stuff that you might, you know, never expect. But aside from that, I mean, the most memorable thing for me was just, you know, getting to work on so many memorable games, being able just to walk across the building and go visit the treehouse and talk to the people there if there's a new upcoming game that you needed to know information about and for some reason you weren't able to get it from the other info that was out there, you weren't able to know from playing the game so far, and, you know, just go over there and talk to Bill or whoever and they'll help you out and give you some information.
It's so interesting, especially back then, I feel like within the past maybe like 3 or 4 years, the mystery of the treehouse. It used to be this. There's so much mystery of like, oh, what goes on in the mysterious treehouse. Now I think that they've kind of opened up a little bit, and they've actually kind of turned some of several of the treehouse staff into, you know, social media influencers almost in their own way, you know, at least at some events and stuff like that. And we especially saw that on like the Switch stream and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, yep, and totally. E3. But yeah, especially back in the day, it was like, did you have to go through like sterilization and so, you know, yeah, like, was it that locked down, or was it like, I don't know. Is that something that was a big thing or what?
Well,
I'm curious about that.
You know, to actually go into the treehouse area, yes, it was behind its own special lock and key. I did not actually get to go into their area very often. But, you know, it did happen from time to time. It was more likely they would come over to our area if they needed to fill us in on something. But, you know, we were all Nintendo employees. We were all signed to NDAs. We all knew about the Nintendo Ninjas. They would come and get us if anything went awry. And everyone was pretty serious about that, so we knew that we weren't gonna muck anything up.
Right. That's so interesting. And were you mostly interacting with NOA? Did you ever get to meet how often did you get to interact with the Japanese side? You know, with Mr. Miyamoto and Mr. Aonuma and all those sorts of things. Was that a pretty rare thing? I imagine that would be that would be pretty special to be able to kind of get in on that.
It wasn't like it was on a regular basis or anything, but you know, anytime they were over here in the US, it was, you know, often an option for us to interact with them. Of course, you know, they were here for events like E3 and stuff like that, and we would always be able to make appointments with them and talk to them and do things of that nature. One of my earliest assignments with Nintendo Power, it was when Hideki Kono was over here to do some Mario Kart promotion for, I guess it was Mario Kart DS. And so I had an interview with him and talked to him about both that and Nintendogs. I just stumbled across the article recently because I was looking for something for someone else. And I went with the atrocious headline of the Fast and the Furriest for that interview. For those two games.
That's awesome.
Puns were definitely encouraged there, and I spent a lot of time trying to think up the most punny headline I could. And when that one came to mind, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I'm going to have to use it.
That's so good.
But we didn't have like any extra special access to the creators over in Japan, but we had had reasonable access, I would say. And you know, and then one time at E3, I can't remember what year this was. Maybe I think it was 2007. You know, I found myself at some Nintendo event where they were, you know, giving out food and stuff, and you know, I looked next to me, and oh look, there's Mr. Miyamoto, and I'm sitting here and eating cheese with Miyamoto. You know, it just seems, you know, wow, but it's kind of normal. So, yeah, wow. It was interesting times. Interesting times.
That's so cool. Yeah, I guess the only other question that I kind of wonder is, like, having been a part of, you know, and following Nintendo for so long, I wonder, what do you feel is there, you know, like, there's some sort of a secret sauce that's there, and there's some sort of an energy and a sort of a corporate culture that really is infused into everything that Nintendo does. I just wonder if you've got any sort of an insight on that. Like, what is it that really makes Nintendo Nintendo, if we get like super vague and sort of philosophical about that? You kind of understand what I'm asking there? Like, is there anything there that made it special working there? And, you know, just in general, both as an insider and as an outsider, having worked with them in just about any and interacted with them in just about every way that you could have, that a person can.
Well, it's a tricky question to answer. I don't think there is any single one secret to their success. I think it just goes back to them, you know, knowing that they it's okay to be different. It's okay to be unique. It's okay to try to take, you know, some risks from time to time. I mean, in a lot of ways, they're very risk averse, but in a lot of ways, they want to do things that are their own ways. They aren't the established ways, and they aren't things that people have tried before. And I think the willingness to do that at the right times is what's helped make them, you know, be such a standout company in the video game industry. You know, they, like I said, march to the beat of their own drummer, and that comes through when it comes to, you know, interacting with the, when it comes to interacting with folks and giving information, but it also comes down to that when they are making their games and trying to make something that is special and different and unique, and just, you know, knowing that's okay. I guess that's probably what it comes down to, being willing to do things differently.
Yeah, and it seems too like just looking, at least from the outside, when I see, and again recognizing, you know, that you were kind of, you were there, you were an employee of Nintendo, but you were also like not in the treehouse or anything like that. But there just seems to be some, every time I see the treehouse guys who are all there, you just get this sense of camaraderie and like, man, isn't this awesome? Like, I can't believe that we get to do this every day. Like that sort of a, that sort of an excitement about they're excited about what they're doing and they believe in it and they're enthusiastic. And yet, like you're saying, I think that there's something to be said for Nintendo where it's like, you know what? We don't have to, you know, with air quotes, grow up. We don't have to, you know, gaming doesn't have to be this big mature audiences sort of experience. That it's okay to just embrace what makes Nintendo great and what makes it, you know, what's enjoyable about it, and fully embrace that, and to be able to do that in a way where it's a part of their culture and a part of their DNA, right? Whereas what I hear you saying at the same time was that there's also a very specific level of conservative, calculated risk taking that goes on, and they don't gamble on something unless they're pretty confident in it. And sometimes they're totally off the mark, like with some of the stuff with Wii U, you know, and whatnot. But it seems like especially lately, they seem to have hit that balance again, where it's you know, at least the buzz right now is fairly positive going into the Switch launch. So.
Yeah, I think that's all very well said. I don't think I would argue against any of that. I will say that, you know, things have sort of changed quite a bit since the time that I, you know, was first employed at Nintendo. When that happened, that was the blue ocean. That was, let's reach out to the non-gamers. We've got our Nintendogs and our brain ages, and we're going to be targeting people who have never played games before. So it's really nice to see how that has evolved and changed over the last 10 years, and that they've come back to embracing the core, embracing the fans that have been following them since the mid-80s, you know, doing things like the NES Classic that celebrates that heritage and that culture. And, you know, I like the way that they've been moving during this time. You know, there have been some missteps, but for the most part, head in the right direction.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like looking at this, and I only ask because I kind of felt like this, that when they were going into that blue ocean strategy and almost like, no, wait, don't forget where your bread is buttered, or don't, you know what I mean? Like, don't forget all the fans. And like, did you ever feel frustration with that, or was it just from the inside, just like, all right, no, we're reporting this and that sort of thing?
I mean, as a fan, yes, I did. You know, I wished that, you know, they were doing more core focused things, but I also understood, you know, where the idea was coming from and why they were going in that direction. And so, you know, I sort of had to balance those two opinions because that was the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Very cool. Guys, do you have
Chris? Chris, what makes you, you know, having obviously worked for Nintendo, having a Nintendo podcast, what makes you love or be such a fan of Nintendo and their advocacy?
Boy, I guess it's the fact that when you said it before, you know, the idea that they don't necessarily need to grow up, that it's okay to still have this sense of fun. You know, it's kind of like the Toys R Us slogan. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Nintendo kid. Yeah. And I think it just comes from that.
Nice. Okay. I'm going to ask you another really super challenging question. If you could right now make any character into an amiibo, what are the three characters you would choose?
Ooh, number one, Mike Hagar.
Ooh.
Okay. Ooh, after that, boy, it gets a lot
I feel
tougher.
Like I got to break open Google here. Well,
I'm a big Ace Attorney fan, so
oh, okay.
So
okay.
Maybe yeah, Phoenix Wright and maybe Professor Layton.
I would definitely buy that. I'd buy both of them.
Impressively. Okay. Okay. All right. And then we had some conversation with some other guests recently as we've been leading up to the Switch. What are the games that you are the most excited to be playing on the Switch in the coming weeks?
Zelda, sure. And Zelda.
And Zelda.
Okay. I am all in on Zelda. I did the math and I have like, you know, $200+ invested in Zelda already between the Amiibo and the Master Edition. And I forget what the other thing is that I've bought that I shouldn't be buying.
DLC? But,
yeah, the DLC. You know, I'm sure I'll pick up the strategy guide sooner or later.
Yeah.
So for me, Zelda's going to do it for now. You know, in the coming months, I'm very excited about Fire Emblem Warriors. I'm super excited about Super Mario Odyssey, which I'm hoping will be out in time. Well, they have said it's coming out in the holiday, right?
Yeah,
they did say holiday 2017, so it's got to be that Black Friday kind of window in late November, I would assume.
So I'm super excited for that one, and I am pretty interested in Splatoon 2 as well. Mm-hmm. So
okay,
yeah, those are like the killer apps for me.
Yeah, and what franchise, obviously, that we do not yet know has been announced, what do you want to see on the Switch?
Oh, I think I'm probably going to go with the Metroid on that one.
The Metroid, okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Excellent.
I think, you know what, if they haven't, I mean, Reggie made some comment at the initial sort of reveal media blitz of the Switch that like, check in with me in a year and see what we've done with that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the kind of comment that he was completely irresponsible or something's coming. And I don't know which one. for his sake, I hope that something's coming because the internet remembers. Yeah. But
he might be writing checks that Nintendo can't cash.
And, I forgot to say Xenoblade 2, I'm super excited about.
What's the over under on that game coming out in North America?
Well, they've said for sure it's coming out in North America.
Well, I mean in 2017, yeah.
Yeah, that one, I don't know. I think that's got a pretty good chance of getting pushed back. But so far, it's what they're saying, so I'll cross my fingers for it. I suppose sitting there right next to Metroid, though, I would also say an official English port of Mother 3.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The elusive goose.
Yes.
Yeah. I there's another title for you. Episode 2. Yeah, that's another... another one that I am looking forward to minimizing my playthrough of Mother 3. yeah,
I've never played it, but I'm looking forward to doing it someday.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually giving the money that's legitimately they can receive there.
I have purchased the Mother games in every possible way that I can on current hardware. So, I will continue to do so.
There you go.
But, understandable. But yeah, so well, right on, man. Is there anything else like, as far as you know, thinking about Nintendo moving forward? Are you optimistic? You know, as kind of a wrap up here, like, are you optimistic for the future of Nintendo? Are you like if you had to put your thoughts and your hopes and dreams for Nintendo moving forward on, you know, basically Switchmas Eve? Is kind of where we are, which, you know, let's overuse that phrase, I think, because it's going to be gone before we know it. What are your thoughts and your hopes and dreams for Nintendo in this very interesting time?
The buzz is positive. People seem to be pretty excited about Switch. You know, you compare this to where they were with Wii U, and it's just a world of difference. And while I think they've still got a few obstacles that they really need to overcome with the Switch, things just look a whole lot brighter than they did with Wii U. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a huge Smash success? I don't know. It's hard to say. But things are definitely looking, you know, much more positive than they were, you know, nearly 5 years ago when Wii U came out. So I can only be positive about that.
Yeah, it seems like buzz for a new Nintendo hardware hasn't been this positive since the Wii, really. Like,
yeah,
because I mean, with the 3DS and with the Wii U, they were both pretty mixed, right? And I think that yes, there are critics out there, but those critics seem to be, since the reveal, the critics seem to have kind of been squelched by a lot of positive response about the Switch. So,
well, it's funny that you mentioned the 3DS, because when 3DS was first unveiled at E3, I mean, people just went nuts for it. Like, everybody who saw it was super excited. Every developer I talked to was super excited. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a system announced and had more of a buzz around. Like, I could, like, literally feel the buzz in the air when they were showing that off. But between that time in June and the time it came out next March, that really, really died down. So I think maybe that's one of the reasons that they've just really unveiled this thing a couple months ago, and now it's coming out, because they haven't given that chance for the buzz to die down. They're like, boom, here it is while the excitement is still hot. So let's get it out there and you know, get this in people's hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris Hoffman, good sir, thanks for being on the show. It's been awesome having
sure
you
thing.
On.
My
and,
pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been awesome having you on. So
thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time. Justin, as we round out the show here, is there anything else that people should be aware of?
Yes, sort of. Let me tell you, Zachary, let me tell you. First, guys, again, big shout out and thanks to Chris. And guys, go over to Power Pro Podcast, hit that subscribe button. You will not regret it, folks. Let me tell you, they're actually one of the best Nintendo podcasts out there. Definitely put us to shame for their audio at times. So guys, make sure you subscribe. Fantastic stuff. And hit Chris up on Twitter as well. Subscribe to all he does. Got a lot of great content. Next week, guys, we are a couple days away from the Switch being launched. So what do we need to have? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring the Wii Eulogy to our next podcast.
See what you did,
see we did there? It's pretty good, right? I know. Wii Eulogy. We're going to break down our
love. Yeah, we stole that from another podcast, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You don't got to tell them that, Jesse.
I love them. Anyways,
gosh, yeah, we're going to break down the Wii U and our thoughts on its life cycle, what we loved about it, what we didn't love about it, as we get ready for the birth of a new console. Speaking of other things that you need to be doing, playing our Retro Rewind game, Double Dragon is our Retro Rewind game for February. So make sure you're playing that. And also, guys, if you love what we do, we got to give some big shout outs and thank yous to our Patreon producers, Tim, Sheldon, and Dave, for keeping us loud, live, and on the air every single week. And thank you to the over 40 Patreon subscribers who help us every single month to make amazing Nintendo Dads content. If you're interested in being a Patreon subscriber, head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads. Zach, that is it for the roundup, sir. Do your bit and hit some music to get us out of here.
Will do, of course. And again, Chris Hoffman, thank you once again, good sir, for being on the show.
You're
welcome back anytime. It's been fun. Right on. Well, if you want to follow us on all of the social media, you can do so at Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. If you want to email us, you can do so at nintendodads@gmail.com. If you want to find us on Twitch or YouTube, just look for us. You can put in Nintendo Dads. We're there. If you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, that's 929-25-NDADS, 929-256-3237. If you want to buy Nintendo Dads merch, tiny.cc/NintendoDadsStore. And huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for the continued amazing artwork. Absolutely, check those guys out. They're amazing. And finally, if you want to change the world, which I know you do, it's important to change this world in these troubled times, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And of course, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, for Jesse, and for the Hoff, We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.